Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see y'all on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know. They should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke
it. You are a real artist. I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what? Cause I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Disco. AJ Disco. 3-5. And I'm saying, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them. Mm-hmm. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there, there was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to ATACP live on Blog Talk Radio, your host T-A-Z. We back in the house after a couple weeks. We got on the panel tonight on Night Court 7, Miss Kitty Williams of the Miss Kitty Williams Show, and G. Wright of the Heart of Love Show, and also the guest host of ATAZP Live, DJ. I will say, everybody, how are you doing, Miss Kitty Williams? How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for the invite.
And G. Wright.
What's up, man? How you doing?
And my co-host, DJ, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, I'm the judge. DJ and G. Wright already been on a night court before, but this is new for Kitty Williams. We're going to go through the first case, give our opinions, come up with a verdict of innocent, which is keeping it real, and got to go down, as in guilty. And tonight's docket number is 12-362-09. 12 represents the month, 362 is the number of the day of the year, and 09, of course, is the year, -01, this is the first case. If Tiger Woods is trying to relax in these tough times, he doesn't need to look much further than the alleged mistress, Jamie Grubbs. Until a month ago, the 24-year-old cocktail waitress at the center of the pro golfer sex scandal was working in a store that sells medical marijuana. Grubbs, who claims to have a 3-year affair with Woods, was an employee at the City Organic Remedy in Studio City, California. Through several sources have told RadarOnline.com that Grubbs hasn't been seen working in the store for about a month. Medical marijuana is legal in California, and Organic Remedy sells the herb in various brands and levels of potency. Okay, now, it's been like a couple of weeks, and we ain't talked about this. I want to know everybody's feel whether Tiger should go down or Tiger should be allowed to have his second chance. I'm going to start with the ladies first, starting with Miss Kitty Williams.
Should he have his second chance with what, with the public opinion?
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
I mean, I don't condone anybody stepping out on their mate if that's the commitment that they made. However, he's a grown man, and I really don't know how all of this got so public. I think it's between him and his wife. You know, I think a lot of the media is on a frenzy right now. You know, first Chris Brown and, you know, now Tiger. I mean, who's next? Will Smith? So I think he deserves a second chance, just to be honest. I mean, only because that was a personal matter that really should have been handled personally. But he knew better. He was wrong, and he knew he was wrong.
DJ.
Yeah. You know, I'm on the fence with this one. I agree with Kitty completely about it being a private affair. Affair may be a bad word to use, but in a private situation. He made a mistake. People make mistakes all the time. He's not the first guy to have an affair. I'm sure he's not the first guy in golf to have an affair. I'm sure that we'll run across a number of people that will have had behaviors that are not considered in the mainstream, and we all feel like we can sit in judgment of Tiger, but the truth of the situation is it is private, and it doesn't have anything to do with what he does best, which is play golf. And as he is dealing with this situation, golf is going to be the only thing that suffers, because golf needs Tiger a lot more than Tiger needs golf.
G. Wright.
I'd say ditto. I agree with the ladies. First of all, that is his personal life, you know. But it reminds you of the fact is this: if you ever put your trust in public opinion, what happens is that you put the trust in that public opinion, and the same people who will lift you up will be the first ones to crucify you and put you out there. So, you know, it's his life. And I think that we need to respect that. It doesn't matter, because if you look at some of our lives, what have we done that we definitely wouldn't want people to judge us for? So personally, that's his life. The game of the sport is golf. And I'd say for the record, I don't agree with what he did or how he did it. That's true, he and his wife. You know, and I think it's another case of another black man, not, as white people say,
parallel, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The parallel between what happened to Tiger and what's happened to even the senator, who publicly went out and had that affair with the lady.
Right.
And it's like she got slapped on the wrist. And he told nationally, he went out of the country with his soulmate. He had met his soulmate. You know,
well, do you think it would have been better for Tiger to come out and just tell the truth early and let, you know, and let all the, you know, all this die down?
Well, you know, I don't think that he planned on it coming out. Then, you know, the fact that the lady did what she did, she knew she wasn't going to get Tiger. So she's the one who started the whole motion. She was the whole thing. And with the accident, it didn't make it any better. It would have been better for him to come out and tell it, hey, David Letterman came out and just told it.
Yeah.
I think people had a difficult time thinking about it because of the fact that it was one person. And then when it ended up being like two or three, they ended up being like what? 9 of 10. Now, are all those true? It might not be. But, you know, who are we to judge? You know, personally, the sport is golf. His personal life is his personal life.
I agree.
I think he just came out and said, it's my business. No, leave me the hell alone. That would have been enough.
There's not much difference, but something that we've said more than once is how people come out. But 9 times out of 10, they don't just come out. They don't just walk out one day and say, hey, guess what? I had an affair with all the interns that work here. I had an affair with – they know that they're either moments from being busted or they've just gotten busted, and they don't want it to be as bad as it could be. So they confess. But I don't think anyone is willing to just step out and say, you know what, everybody come over here. I got to tell you, I've been cheating on my wife. I've been, you know, doing, and I just don't think that it's something that would have ever come out. I think that, you know, it got exposed, just like anybody else in the situation got exposed. It's just the difference is.
And I just don't understand. I mean, seriously, who keeps 300 text messages, though? I delete, like, when I get to 50 on my phone, I have to delete them. 300? I mean, he's dealing with the wrong type of women. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They all just trying to set him up. I personally, I wouldn't mess up it. If I'm messing with a billionaire, I'm not going to mess that up. I'll be quiet.
No, we're going to be a billionaire together.
Yeah, exactly.
Why mess that up? A little fame is not going to really do much.
He's a long haul. Yeah, you're right about that. So we all came to the conclusion he deserves a second chance.
Absolutely.
I'm going to start with G. Wright. G. Wright, tell the people exactly what you do. You have a show here on Blog Talk, plus you do music. Go on, my brother.
Okay, I want to keep on talking about Tiger. Okay.
Yeah.
I know I'm G Wright. I host the show, the Hard Love Radio Show, and the time's been changing a little bit. Right now, it's leaning towards like on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, and on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. You know, it's a type of talk radio format. Coming for Tuesdays and then Thursdays. You know, Tuesdays also mix with some music. I like to play music from upcoming artists. TAZ Beats, and I play inspirational music. So if you need a little jump start to your life, if you had a hard day, just tune into the Hard Love Radio Show. That's blogtalkradio.com/GWright online, I believe. GWright/GWright. So it's blogtalkradio.com/GWright. You can check out my music on iTunes. I'm an artist. And my CD will be national in March. But you can check it out.
Man. I got a question, G, right? When we going to do those 12, that one track that you are supposed to do on the new one? You need to hit a brother up.
We got to do that when you make that relocation.
All right. Miss Kitty Williams of the Kitty Williams Show. Tell the listening audience all what you do. You got about several hats, so I'm going to sit back a while to let you explain.
I've had to put some of them hats in the closet for now. Now, right now, I do the Kitty Williams Radio Show. I broadcast weekdays, normally about 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern. Taking a little vacation right now. I interview musicians mostly, as well as business owners, community leaders, and other unique individuals in depth. And that's just the one thing that I would love to do for the rest of my life is just interview people and get to know more about them. And with Oprah retiring, you know, somebody's got to step up. So, but that's about it. You can find me on www.thekittywilliamsradioshow.fm. I'm also on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and all that good stuff.
Cool. Okay, K02. New test raises Nevada's brothels hopes for legal male prostitutes. And I know y'all tripping. The owner of a brothel more than 2 hours drive from Las Vegas said she hopes to hire Nevada's first legal male prostitutes within a month, now that the state health officials have approved a method to test men for infectious diseases. The world is ready for women. The world is ready for women or even men to legally buy sex, said Shady Lacey Ranch, owner of Bobby Davis Plus. Being the first to offer male service could boost business in tough economic times, she said. For more than 25 years, no licensed female in Nevada has contracted HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, said George Flint, a Reno Wedding Chapel owner and longtime lobbyist for the Nevada Brothels Owners Association. My concern is that we continue to maintain that kind of record, he said. Prostitution has been legal in rural Nevada County since 1971 under strict state health board oversight, but is against the law in the Las Vegas and Reno areas. I want to know what you guys think of this. Do you think there are going to be more male prostitutes out there, or this isn't going to fly with the public? And being that it's ladies first, I'll go with DJ.
Ooh, gee, I'm so excited. I just think this is a ridiculous concept. I first of all, economically, it doesn't make sense. Women already have that power. We don't need to buy it because, as someone told me years and years ago, what we have to give, men have to buy. So there's no point in me buying it. I just don't see purposefully how this is a benefit to any woman. The testing alone, because of the extent of testing men, is just so difficult because it's a urethral testing. I just don't see where it's going to not cause a health concern at some point. I think it's a ridiculous concept. I'm not interested at all. I find this to be a little bit ridiculous.
Okay, Miss Kitty Williams.
I'm still in shock even about hearing about this. Like, are you serious? I mean, personally, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do economically. Like they said, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm not a fan of prostitution stuff anyway. And I don't see why. There's so many people that do it for free anyway.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
There you go.
It's pointless to me, and that's pretty much all I got on that.
G right.
I agree that people can do it free. To legalize it, it's like I say, if something's wrong, just go ahead and legalize it because everyone's doing it anyway. Is that really the case? And,
it seems crazy. I thought it was crazy when I read it. I said, oh, yeah, this would be a good one right here. So we are totally, like, not feeling this.
Yeah, what would keep it from being a prostitution area that men wouldn't, you know, visit as well? I mean, how are you going to keep it so that just women are visiting these male prostitutes? It's going to turn into some sort of Sodom and Gomorrah. What are we looking at here? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I would think if you're online, I'm going to put it this way. If you're out there selling your body, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's women or men. They're going to have to be with both of them to make the money.
Okay. All the more reason why it just is ridiculous.
Okay, not feeling.
I mean, I'm in the South, so I don't know I'm guessing y'all are too. I don't know. Maybe our mentality's a little bit different than the West Coast. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. That might be actually legit. You know, I'm in a D.C. area. I lived in the South for long. I agree that people do it for free. Why make it legal?
Like, I know about 20 people right now. If I said, hey, I want some, I could get it free.
Exactly.
I don't have to pay anything. And I'm no Beyonce. So, you know, whatever. It works for them.
You killed me on that one. Oh, Lord. Okay, case number 3. Burglars pick wrong place to sleep it off. After stealing about $1,154 in liquor, two burglars decided to celebrate and get so drunk they fell asleep instead of escaping. Police in Swansea, Wales said. Burglars Keith Colin and Paul Wiggins stacked up the stolen booze outside the store and then went in to have a drink. Police found them asleep in the store the next morning. A Swansea prosecutor said closed circuit television recorded the entire theft. My question to the panel, should they go down being guilty or do they have a leg to stand on in court? Yeah, they out there on the night. They haven't been since yet. I'll start with Miss Kitty Williams.
Idiots. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. I can't come up with anything else.
Jesus.
I mean, they have shows dedicated to the world's dumbest criminals, and I just think they've got a special spot for people like them. I mean, this is just dumb beyond belief. So, you know, yeah, they need to go down because they don't have any business in society. They need to be someplace where they can be safe from themselves.
G. Rice.
I don't know what to say about that one. I just,
you know what? If you're going to spread my shit and steal, you're going to drink it and then fall asleep.
They must have had a party before they got there or something. I don't know. You know.
They must have. You'll rob a place and then drink there and then fall asleep.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're guilty of doing that. You know, they get, you know, breaking and entering and drinking up stuff, drinking up liquor. But they serve some time. It probably is a little funny, but yeah, they serve some time.
I remember there was some case where this man cheated on his wife and the lady made him stand outside of the mall with a sign that said, I cheated, or some crap like that.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
That would be a perfect punishment for these guys. Just have them put on a sign that I'm an idiot, you know, or I don't know, something else. But I think that would serve it even better, you know, put it all on YouTube and all over the news. And I think they'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Public humiliation.
I'm afraid that they might.
I'm afraid they're too dumb to know that they just might. They might try something like robbing the bank with, you know, their own deposit slip and, you know, writing the note on the back. Something ridiculous.
Oh, that's so sad.
Case number 4, divorce helps scars permanently. Divorce having lingering detrimental impact on health that even remarriage cannot fully repair, study suggests. The Chicago study involving 8,652 people aged 51 to 61 found divorced people have 20% more chronic illness, such as cancer, than those who never marry. Although people who remarry after a divorce or being widowed do tend to be happier as a result, being no more depressed than those continuously married and less depressed than those who never married. They gain little in terms of chronic health conditions. My question to the panel is, do you think that the marriage does have a effect on how the body reacts and as far as catching or as a fact as having chronic illnesses afterwards because of the divorce? This time I'm going to start with G. Wright.
Well, I think personally, I've never been married, so I really don't have anything to say. I'm not sure.
You have no opinion.
I mean, if you're talking about if marriage, I'm sorry, because my ears is like, no, let me check this. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, my earpiece was beginning to mess up. You're basically saying that people who get married are healthier?
What they're saying is people that go through divorce have 20% more chronic illness, such as cancer, than those who never marry.
Okay, you know why I think so? Thank you, I appreciate it. I think so because the stress of going through a divorce, of becoming one with someone, and then going through a divorce, that stuff plays in your mind, your health when you're married. Can you imagine after being divorced, especially if it's not an amicable divorce?
Right.
You know, so you have to think, oh, this person did me wrong. These people, I just watched this movie. I'm not going to put a plug out for the movie, but I watched this movie. It's interesting to think how long it takes people who are divorced to actually get over the process of getting divorced. And is this if the spouse dies, but the spouse cheats on you? It messes up with your subconscious and your and it can affect your health, male or female.
Miss Kitty Ring.
I would agree. I mean, I can't say much about me. I'm a newbie with certain things. But, you know, I majored in psychology, and they would always tell us about the differences between divorced couples and married couples and all of that. I would think, like G. Wright said, with the stress, depression, all of that plays a negative effect on our physical health. So, I mean, I can really just only agree to that. Yeah, that's about it. When I'm married 30 years or so and I think about getting a divorce, I'll call you back and let you know.
DJ.
Well, being the perpetual runaway bride, I can only tell you this. I just don't believe in marriage personally, and that's just my opinion. I just don't think it's for everybody, but I would think that it would cause me a lot of stress if I went through the whole process of getting married and then had to divorce. And I think it also depends on the age of the people that are in the situation. I think, you know, when you're younger, it may not affect you as much as it would if you've gone through a 30-year marriage, a 20-year marriage. I think 2 years in and getting out, it may not cause you as much stress as 30 years in and then having to separate your life from someone that literally was your right arm. So I think it makes a difference in the length of the marriage as well.
I'm going to let y'all know, I was married before, and I was married to a person that wrote $50,000 worth of bad checks when I was in the Army. I was in the service. And, of course, you know, when you're in the service, anything your spouse do, they come to you, and they try to get you put out or get you in trouble. So I'm going to tell you, when I got the divorce from that lady, I was stress-free. So I don't know what they're talking about.
You were joyful.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was happy. $50,000 later, I was happy. Yeah, I was happy.
I believe you.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a recess. I'm gonna play a song that me and G. Wright did. How many years ago? We did Holiday Season, G. Wright, about
2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. This is a Holiday Season, and I'm playing it because we're in the holiday season. And also, this has a message about the clubs that I used to go to when I was down in Texas, when I was stationed in Fort Hood and Killeen area. So this is Holiday Season. We'll be right back with Miss Kitty Williams, G. Wright, and DJ in the house.
All right.
Holiday season.
Put up a club. love is a bar somewhere. Charge a dollar. Bring your own strength.
ATAZP.com is explosive, highlighting indie artists, banging louder than a bomb. DJ, producer, performer, TAZ, brings the questions for you and for me, because it's all about the indie, I-N-D-I-E, as we're working and grinding, searching, seeking, and finding our way to endless shining. We're flowing, singing, rapping, blinging through our positive spirit and high morale. ATAZP.com, home of the devastating beat creator. ATAZP.com, home of the MC motivator. ATAZP.com, home of the indie artist invigorator. This is poet author Mark Lacey telling you to consume some now and save some for later. ATAZP.com.
That's my boy, Mark Lacey, one of our friends that frequently come to the house party. G. Wright met him, too, as well.
Yeah. He joined the last house party upside down. But we missed you there, Miss Kitty.
Yeah. We missed you there, too, DJ.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Like G. Wright did on his show on Christmas Day when I called in late, like 10 minutes left. I want to know what are y'all best Christmas memories? I'm going to start with G. Wright since he came with that question on his show.
Oh, yeah. He wants that way.
You, G. Wright.
Okay. So I remember I was like 6 or 7. It was snowy. It started snowing around midnight. I went back home from church. And I remember going to sleep. And I woke up 20 hours every hour because I knew I wanted a bike. I woke up at 1 o'clock, I woke up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Then out of frustration, I went back to sleep around 5 o'clock, woke up about 6 or 7, and there that big, shiny bike was sitting there right in front of the Christmas tree. I don't know where my mom hid that bike. I don't know where she hid it because, you know, of course, I looked like an entire place. But that was Christmas I'll never forget.
Miss Kitty.
I was trying to think. Holidays kind of just run into regular days for me lately, but I remember when I was maybe about 10, we were in Fort Polk, Louisiana, and my parents had bought this gigantic, I guess, a real Christmas tree, and it was just full of all types of presents and everything. There's really nothing too special about it other than, you know, they videoed it and everything, and I like to go back and watch that and look at the looks on our faces without our toys and our brand new pool table and race cars and skates and just all kinds of stuff. I'm going to put that on YouTube one of the days. But I think that was the last Christmas that my family had before, you know, they all got divorced and crap. So that's probably the most memorable one for me.
Mm-hmm. DJ.
Wow. It's hard because I'm like one of 6 children. And my parents have always just like made Christmas really special for us. We've all kind of gone our separate ways, but it's probably been maybe about 5 or 6 years ago when we had a chance to all come back together, and instead of getting gifts and giving gifts, we just kind of sat around and talked about the things we remember from Christmases past. And it was just a really good experience, just sitting around and reminiscing about how good the Christmases had been and how good our life had been up to this point, and just feeling really blessed. So I don't have a gift that was more special than having family.
That's cool. I'm gonna tell y'all, now, of course, I had many great Christmases when I was little and growing up with my family, and I'm going to tell you when I was away from my family when I was in the Army. it happened during Christmas because this is when this particular club in Waco decided to do this. They were going to shoot out $1,000 bills out the confetti cannon. They announced it all week. We shooting these $1,000 bills out these confetti cannons. Now, I didn't really want to go to that club, but when they announced that, I said I had to be there because the money going to be in the air. You know what I'm saying? And this is before they started making it rain. Now, the song No Parking on the Dance Floor was out by Midnight Star. And I was out there on the floor parked because I didn't want to go to the bathroom in case they I hear the pop that I'm going to miss the money, right? Okay. They did it two times. They said they're going to do it two times, $500. And then they're going to do $500 anytime during the club. Club opened from 9 to 3. We didn't know when they were doing it. About 11:45, the first pop, I'm standing there, and it was like the music was going fast. When you heard the pop, the music all started going in slow motion. I'm reaching in the air slow. I mean, everybody moving in slow motion. I'm seeing it rain dollars all over. And I've seen one couple of brothers bend over to get the money, and they clocked their heads together. I said, oh, no, I can't bend over. He's killing my noggin, bending over. I'm trying to grab it out the air, just missing dollars. And everybody, I'm just looking at everybody else so astonished because I ain't seen this much money in my life. Everybody trying to grab money. I grabbed the dollar out the air with another brother, and we ripped it off. And I was like, you ain't getting this dollar. He said, you ain't getting this half either. So, you know, I mean, and then when the money all fell on the floor, it was back to fast motion, and the music started back. And all I had was $2. I don't want them there trying to get me some money. All I had was $2. My boy was sitting off the dance floor eating at a table, and he said $7 blew in his lap. But that was the funniest thing. I mean, I had so much fun doing that. So
funny.
Here we go with case number 5. An Ontario judge has dismissed impaired driving charges against a man stopped by police just north of Toronto because he was not provided with a Spanish-speaking interpreter to help him decide whether to call a lawyer. Rafael Brito was unable to fully understand his right to counsel when he was stopped by York Region Police after making an erratic turn about 2:30 a.m. on March 19, 2006. It's not sufficient for a police officer upon the arrest or detention of a person to merely recite the rights guaranteed by Section 10 of the Charter, Justice of the Peace Talley said. The accused of or detained must understand what is being said to him by the police officer. The officer who stopped Brito testified he could smell alcohol in the suspect's breath. When asked if he'd been drinking, the suspect said, no, I'm not drinking nothing. He told the police he did not need a lawyer and agreed to a roadside breathalyzer, which he failed. While the suspect had a thick Spanish accent, the officer said he understood them in English and appeared to understand what he said. My question is, should Brito be allowed to go because the judge said he did not understand him when the police officer actually said he did and he failed the breathalyzer on top of it? Miss Kitty Williams.
I think that he knew he was wrong when he was drinking and driving impaired. He knew the difference between right and wrong. No matter what language you speak, you know it's wrong. And what state was this in, or was this in Canada?
This was in Canada, Toronto.
I'm sure it's illegal to drink and drive there. So he knew the laws. And if he did, I mean, that's the basic law that anybody can understand in any country, any state, whatever. In regards to his rights and possibly not understanding, I don't know, that's a tough one there. I think that he was guilty. He knew he was guilty, and he shouldn't have done it, and he posed a threat at that moment to anyone on the road. So, I'm on the fence with that one.
G. Wright.
Kind of.
You know, I agree. I think I'm kind of on the fence with that one as well. You know, you almost had me in the first part when you said that he didn't understand about what he was, about what was being read to him. He was right. But when you say he was driving, he had failed the breathalyzer test. You know, and you know, yeah, the part, I'll say this. How many foreign people do you know? Not just Spanish-speaking people, but other nationalities. Yeah, when they do something that they're not supposed to do, they say they can't understand. You give them some money, they're going to understand.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so it's like, oh, yeah, that's a scapegoat. I think that maybe not all charges should be, I don't think they should be entirely dropped. Because what that's going to say is that you can say you don't understand and you'll be pardoned.
Yeah.
If it was the other way around, there's a black man or black woman under influence like that, there wouldn't be even a question about should they be let off? Do they understand? You're going down. You what? I'm sorry, I'm gonna let you go this time. Sometimes, maybe once in a while. But most states with drunk driving, they don't play with that. So maybe not make it severe, but he should pay something.
DJ.
Well, it's kind of one of those situations where if he was driving and those lights came on behind him and he knew to pull over, somewhere in there he knew he was doing something and he knew what that car represented that had the funny lights on top, and when they made him take the breathalyzer, he knew he was doing that. So something should have gone together and said, you know, something very bad is happening here. And if that's the moment you say, I don't speak English, whatever language you speak, you need to tell them you don't speak English. And at that point, you should still be under arrest, but there should be a time frame that, you know, you have that says, okay, within this amount of time, he should have a interpreter. Because it wouldn't matter if it was Spanish, if it was French, if it was Chinese, whatever it is, whatever the languages he speaks, whether it's Swahili or Pig Latin, it should come to a point where they have someone who speaks that language and they're able to read him his rights. But he should still be under arrest. He's doing the same illegal thing that I would be doing. And if they arrested me for it, then I would be subject to the same rules and regulations. So I think he's required the same thing as I am.
Two guts to go down and one on the fence.
I'm more so on the side of the guts to go down because he was guilty.
That's right.
So, I mean, if I had to choose, I would choose that. I mean, he knew better.
Mm-hmm.
Three guts to go down then.
He's got to go.
Well, you know, if they would have been talking about 1099, he would have understood. Because everything is a 899. Everything is a 99. Case number 6, the last one. We got 11 minutes. Arizona teacher on leave after taking class students to Hooters. A music teacher whose students performed at one of President Obama's inauguration events has been put on administration leave after taking 40 students to eat at a Hooters restaurant downtown Phoenix. Say Gail told her principal that the restaurant, known for its busy waitresses in tight shirts and orange shorts, was the only place that could accommodate a group of that size. The teacher could not be reached for comment. So was she right or was she wrong taking these students in to eat at a Hooters establishment? G. Wright.
How old were they?
You a teacher. I forgot about that. I'm looking. It doesn't say what grade. It don't say what grade they were in.
Now, mind you, the group of boys.
Didn't say that either.
Okay, you know, I'll say this. If it's the only place to eat, it's a place to eat. And you, you know,
G-Wright, like, would you have done it?
I'm saying, I would have done it. I would not have done that. Because I, any teacher, any professional, you know you have to take, it's first of all, when you take Hooters, you know, you take a group of kids to Hooters. You know, the word, just the word Hooters.
I think you made your point, G-Wright. With Kitty Williams.
I agree. I mean, I think it was professionally irresponsible just because if for no other, it's what the restaurant is known for, and it's inappropriate for, I think, for children to go to. If their parents want to take them, fine. But for a representative, you know, of a school or something, I think it's just a bit inappropriate. I don't even go to Hooters. I would, but I wouldn't take a group of children there. It just doesn't sound right.
DJ.
I agree 100%. I think that there had to be another option. If they didn't eat, you know, I'm sure somebody would have complained about that. There may have been a gas station. Get them all some donuts, put them back on the road, let's go. But I just don't think.
She is a donut.
Get them the donuts and a Red Bull, let's go. But I just don't believe that Hooters is a responsible option. Yeah, no, that's not an option.
Here's a recap. Recap on the first case. Deserves a second chance with Tiger Woods. The brothel that's thinking about having male prostitutes. We were not feeling it at all. The burglars who fell asleep while trying to steal some booze. Stupidity. Divorce with causing chronic conditions because you're divorced and stressed. We all agreed that that could happen. The Toronto man who was driving drunk but did not understand supposedly what was being said to him, and everybody said he got to go down because he failed the breathalyzer test. And the last one with the children going to Hooters to eat after an event was inappropriate. I want to thank G. Wright, Miss Kitty Williams, DJ, for being on the panel on Night Court 7. Again, Miss Kitty Williams, give your information out so people can hit you up on your show.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And I've definitely enjoyed this show. This is new for me. People can find me at www.thekittywilliamsradioshow.fm. Currently under construction or reconstruction for the new year. They can find me on Twitter at Kitty Williams FM, or MySpace or Blog Talk, all under the Kitty Williams Radio Show. MySpace I check very, very often if anyone wants to hit me up.
G-Wright.
You can hit me up at gwrightonline.com, at gwrighttonline.com. I'm also on the Heart of Love Radio Show. That comes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, blogtalkradio.com/G-Wright.
And DJ will be having a page soon, so
yeah.
She can be hit up. But yeah, as you go on, announce where your little other pages are at, where they can hit you up.
Right now you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Tagged. And you can
under,
follow me on Facebook. All under the same one, the lovely one.
All right, I want to thank you guys again for being on the show. I guess I'm gonna leave you with a the vocal song of "Dancing in the Sky." This is me, Ron L. And again, I think that's G Wright on this song. Yes, he's on this song. It's Z Vocals, which is acapella. Really, but I call it Z Vocal, so this is without the beat. And again, I thank Miss Kitty Williams, G Wright, and DJ. Until the next time we're on, we'll be on.
God bless you guys.
Good.
you. Steps in the club, motivated by the time. I'm searching for the one, just looking to find. Small waist, pretty face, the thick behind. There she goes, walking, blowing my mind. Say, sexy lady, need to spit to you. Let these words penetrate what I wanna do. Understand what I'm saying, coming off true. Let's spend some time, I'm talking real boo. You may not believe, but I'm not playing. Strictly on lock, the words that I'm saying. Lots of emotion, but we're just laying. Feelings are real, more than today, and we gotta keep this love fly. Suckers wanna roll up, cast in the eye. This love too deep, and we can't deny. I'm floating on clouds, dancing in the sky.
We're dancing in the sky, baby. Your love has got me dancing in the sky. Dancing in the sky, baby, yeah. Your love has got me dancing in the sky. You're the one I'm dreaming of. You're looking so good to me. And if we keep this rolling, good love will be the key, yeah. Dancing in the sky, baby. Your love has got me dancing in the sky. Dancing in the sky, baby, yeah. Your love has got me dancing in the sky. Dancing in the sky, baby. Your love has got me dancing in the sky. Dancing in the sky, baby. Your love has got me dancing in the sky.